Hey everybody, really delighted to have for the first time on our channel quite a well-known figure in I think what we can now describe as the truth and sound money movement, Gerald Gliente. Gerald, very glad to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Without further ado, because we've only got a certain amount of time, what's forefront of your mind, Gerald, in terms of what's going on in the world and how people should be viewing, you know, the key pressure points?
I've been at this now for since 1980, 44 years. I've never seen a time of more danger geopolitically or socioeconomic. Tracking trends is the understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. And you look at where we are and how we got here, it's a freak show in front of everybody's eyes. And yeah. These are some of my books. This is Trend Tracking, Far Better Than Megatrends, Time Magazine. Trends 2000, international bestseller. Been publishing the Trends Journal since 1991. Been at this a long time. And we look at the facts. We're political atheists. We don't take sides on anything.
Yeah.
In terms of making trend forecasts. So when you go back to the Trends Journal, on February 22nd, 2022, 2 years before the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we said from COVID war to Ukraine war to world war. World War III has begun. It's only going to be a false flag event or something happens, you know, like a Pearl Harbor kind of thing where we all unite and go to war, like 9/11, you know, the war on terror. And by the way, when I talk about Ukraine, Russia attacking Ukraine, you go back to our Trends Journal 2014, and we wrote all about the United States overthrow of the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine.
Indeed.
And how they, how they killed over 15,000 people in Donbass, how they the Ukrainians violated the Minsk agreements, on and on and on. You know, all the facts are there. But anyway, going back to World War III, one of our top trends for 2023 was Middle East meltdown.
Yeah.
We warned this was going to happen. When they again elected that murderous, slimy piece of crap, Benjamin Netanyahu. People forget, you know, when I was a kid and I started learning stuff and I get upset about, like, Dad, how come people are... And my father would say to me, son, take it easy. He said, people have little minds. In other words, most people don't know. Hey, you know, and by the way, I don't think we should be talking about any of this anymore. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. All right? That's the headline news. Did she get laid last night? Did she get screwed at halftime? I mean, this is the kind of crap that the people know. So going back to the Middle East meltdown, there were 39 weeks of major protests going on in Israel after Netanyahu tried to push through his Judicial Reform Act, which basically said he couldn't be brought up on corruption.
Yep.
The president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, called it a civil war. A civil war was raging on in Israel before the October 8th or 7th Hamas attack in Israel last year. So one of my lines is, when all else fails, they take you to war. All the facts are there that they knew this thing was going to happen. 2 days, again, we only put the facts in the Trends Journal, only the facts. 2 days after this thing happened, reports came out that the United States and Egypt both warned Israel that this was going to happen. And now all the other information's coming out, warning, telling me it was going to happen. And by the way, go to Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, and they'll keep writing about and telling you about that the Israelis killed a lot of these people that they said Hamas killed. And there's the picture of the tank, the Israeli tank blowing up the kibbutz, and the helicopter shooting at people. So World War III has begun. That's my major concern. So we're telling people, you better prepare. You know, one of my lines is, guns, gold, and a getaway plan. And but there's, you know, and I see this crap about these billionaires building bunkers. A crap head. If there's a nuclear war, oh, after it's over, you're going to come out and have a good time. What kind of moron could you be? And where are all you billionaires not putting one penny out there for peace? You know why? Because you're all pieces of crap. That's why. So that's my greatest concern on that, on the geopolitical end. On the economic end, banks going bust. Nobody's talking about it. We're the only ones. We warned about an office building bust when they locked down everybody, forced people to work at home week after week, month after month, year after year. And people are saying, holy Christ, I was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to commute an hour and a half each way, standing like this driving. I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah. Hey, I'm the guy that has 10 stories in an office building. Listen, stay at home. I don't see these people in cubicles anyway. I don't need to pay all this rent. There's an office building bust that's going to bring down the banks. No one is talking about it. We've been writing about it in detail and detail and detail. All they do is talk about the equity markets, where they're going, the Magnificent Seven. Who the hell are you talking to? Hey, how about the rest of the world? No, no, no. We'll only talk about the Magnificent Seven. People have no idea how bad this is. So we're telling them, you better prepare for the worst.
Yeah, on that very point, actually, a Canadian pension got out of a commercial building in central New York for a dollar to its partners. Cut and run. Take it for a dollar. I don't want the debt. I don't want all the costs. And I'm hitting the door. And commercial real estate, of course, is the pension crisis because that's loaded with that. Never mind the fact that they're also loaded with T-bills. And that 40-year bull market ended in 2020.
Exactly. You go back... Perfectly you said that. Go back to 2019. At that time, the world's fourth largest economy, Germany, in 2019, was going into a recession. That's before the COVID war began on January 2020, launched from China on their Lunar New Year, the year of the rat. And then they artificially propped up the economies with trillions of dollars of fake money, printed on nothing and backed by nothing, to fight the COVID war. Here, stay home. Here's some money. Don't worry about it. Hey, here's some money. Yeah, the airlines. Here's money. Hey, business. Here's your money. Oh, and we'll bring the interest rates down to zero in the U.S. and keep them negative over in the EU. And we'll keep up buying corporate bonds and China, excuse me, in Japan and the United and Europe. Don't worry about it. We'll keep artificially propping this thing up. The prop is over. It's going to crash. It's only a matter of time. Again, I've been at this again for 44 years. You don't always get it right. The reason being is people say I'm a futurist. Nobody can predict the future. There are too many wild cards, whether they're made by humans or nature. And the wild cards, I thought the markets would crash in 2012. They didn't, because they didn't teach me about zero interest rate policy and a thing called quantitative easing in economics 101 or graduate school. They made up this crap. I thought the markets would crash when they locked down the world. They didn't teach me in economics 101 or graduate school that the crime syndicate that people call a government would artificially prop all this up. Oh, and by the way, make the rich richer. Merger and acquisition activity in 2021 hit an all-time high. The bigs are buying out everything. All we are plantation workers of Slavelandia. According to Oxfam, 1% out of 8 billion people own 43% of all the equities in the world. And in the USSA, 1% own 54%. And when you put in the 10%, they own 90%. People own nothing.
Yeah. And in fact, inflation is one of the most aggressive tools for enrichment for the billionaire class, because they get to borrow at super low rates and debt gets devalued and they buy tons of assets. But for everybody else, the upper middle, the middle and the working class, it's actually a dilution mechanism on their currency, which is essentially all the chips on the casino table be tipped over to the other side, just as you've described. And people don't realize
that. Yep. Yep. Perfectly said. You're right.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that guy Schwartzman, who owns the head of Blackstone or Black, you know, is it Blackstone, BlackRock, not BlackRock.
Probably Blackstone.
Yeah. Blackstone, yeah. What? How did they make all their money? Oh, after the banking crisis, again, we forecast the panic of 08. We took out the domain name in 2007, panic of 08, brought to you by the Bankster Bandits, right?
Yeah.
So everybody that they're foreclosing on homes, foreclosing on homes, foreclosing on homes, Blackstone starts buying up all these homes.
Yeah.
Can't own a home, but we're renting you one. We're renting you one. Oh, and you know what the news was last week? He didn't make $1 billion last year. He only got like $887 million or something. You know, it's some ridiculous number. There's a crime syndicate running the world. It's all it is. Again, when I was a young guy, there were grocery stores, hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores. Now they're grocery chains, hardware chains, stationery chains, drug chains. We're just chained. This is better than the plantation system, because back then you had to house them and feed them. Now you work at Walmart's, Lowe's, Home Depot. Yes, there's enough money. Get the hell out of here and come back tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. BlackRock did a lot of the buying, and that is our friend, what's his name, Larry Fink. But Fink. I think Schwartzman must be Blackstone or one of the others. But they're all the same anyway, really. The names change, but the modus operandi is the same. And they are hoovering up the assets. And they're quite serious about this World Economic Forum mandate or strap line, if we can, of you will own nothing, and we assume be happy on our meds and pharma installments that they'll no doubt be providing for our UBI. They want everyone as board of state, basically, and ultimate ownership. And on that point, I want to ask you about something, because I have this view. Larry Fink, seeing as he came up, and BlackRock, because of the property accumulation you were saying, he's a big fan of this tokenization element. And this is the new derivative, in my opinion, a new proxy holding for real assets. So you'll buy a home in the future, you'll buy a car in the future, and there'll be some non-fungible token. They can actually buy that and assume ownership of it and then trigger the rental agreement. So you'll literally become a rentier society where all our assets have to be listed, tokenized, and put on a web. They can be searched in this surveillance finance blockchain realm. What's your take on Mr. Fink's excitement about tokenization and the fact that it transcends national boundaries? So you really will go into the NWO. Someone in a far off land could buy your home trigger the rental agreement. That's my take and my forward prognostications, I suppose. It's speculation on my behalf. How's your feeling around this tokenization as a technology and how it will be used or weaponized against us?
I think you're 100% right, and it all ties into to the central bank digital currencies. They know every penny you spent, where you spent it, what you spent it on. It's globalization. Again, you know, once upon a time,
it's surveillance.
Yeah, they know. Again, it's all it is, and they're in total control. The bigs own everything. They own the world. And again, when you look at you talked about the Klaus Schwab group over there. You look at that guy. Could you get a freakier looking clown than that jerk? Look one after another. Look what these guys look like. I mean, a bunch of lowlifes, and they're telling everybody what to do. Again, the people have lost their fight in this country, America. The fight is gone. You know, people don't like me. They don't like my language because you know I'm a Napolitano that grew up in the Bronx, all right? Get it in your head. In 1946, at the height of America, the energy, end of World War II, the energy was so uplifting. You were free to be yourself. I get in a fight with my father, may he rest in peace, and he said to me, you little bastard, you think I'm telling you what I'm telling you because I want you to be like me? I want you to become yourself. Not anymore. You have to believe everything that we tell you. If you don't believe everything that we tell you and don't swallow our crap, you believe in misinformation. The fight is gone. The men aren't men anymore. No, they get their thing cut off and they become something else, you know? I mean, and that's okay. You're 7 years old, go to New Jersey, and you don't know if you're a boy or a girl yet. That's okay. Who the hell are you talking to? That's what I'm trying to say. It's the fight that has been lost, that people allowing these little freaks in a country near you to destroy us. And as you're pointing out, they're taking control of everything in every different way they can in the AI new world. AI, we own you.
Yeah. And the way it's happened, I like you, my biggest disappointment is in my fellow men. I think we're suffering from cowardice and integrity absence, and a complete absence of courage and absolute cowardness. But when I look how they've gone about it, it's been very sleight of hand as well. It's been a boiling frog mechanism. It's almost like an anaconda. They put four wraps around the body before they began the squeeze. They made sure that they seized every single apparatus that could be highlighting their misdeeds, from media, banking, legal, religion. They've captured, you know, the Pope, they've captured every single aspect. And now the squeeze is on and everybody's wondering and panicking. And I'm like, where were you when the first rap went around and you were looking at this big snake head in the eyes and it was smiling at you like it was trying to be your friend and make your life simpler by giving you a device, which is your prison tag? Where was everybody? And I just feel we're devoid of real thinkers and angry men. Everyone says, be more positive, make the best of it. When something is a pile of shit, sometimes you just have to say, this is a pile of shit. And you have to, you know, you have to get the cleaning squad out. And my biggest disappointment is a little bit in myself and the rest of mankind. The men's job were protectorate of the families. And we've slept. We've slept through this thing. And now we want our lives saved. And this massive anaconda has got six loops around us and is squeezing the life out of us. And now you want to, now you suddenly realize the severity of the system. It's literally, you don't get fire insurance as the fire is busy engulfing you in your kitchen. You get it before. And I feel that's my big disappointment. And I'm fascinated to see how you've responded, because to you as well, the warrior spirit, you know, have we all been, had our testosterone managed down through the water? I distill all my water, but what's happened to everyone? I really want the answer of that. Why haven't I heard about guys getting their guns and even, you know, being claimed to be far right, you know, insane, okay, whatever the media will paint them, but I'm shocked by the lack of reaction. And I don't know if you have an understanding or maybe we just wackos. I don't know.
It's a decline of civilization. That's all it is. And, you know, going back to what you were saying about BlackRock and what I was saying about the CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies, the younger generations, they're totally digitized. And that's their world. Everybody's like this. People, when you walk down the street, they don't say hello anymore. They're looking at their phone. By the way, I don't carry a cell phone. I did work for the cellular telecommunications industry going back to the 1993, 94, when they had boxes in the trunks of cars with aerials.
I remember that.
And I've been studying the radio frequency radiation of these things since the beginning. Back in France, about 2004, 2005, they were banning cell phones for children because your brain shield is thinner. And the waves were going in deeper. But of course, they got sold out. And then the latest study that came out, and they hardly report them anymore, from the University of California at Berkeley, was that if you're on a cell phone for 17 minutes a day for 10 years, your chances of getting a brain tumor only increased by 60%. So going back to what you were saying and what I was saying about the future, it's all going to be digitized and everything. The younger generations, this is their life. Little kids, infants are on these things. So it's going to be very easy to sell. Very easy.
And they're addictive. They're designed to be addictive. Like all the industries of a certain group, whether it's gambling, mercantilist, usury, lending, devices like with TikTok, thrills and spills, 5-second wonder clips. It's designed to be addictive. You have to choose your addictions. I don't know if you can ever be bereft of any of them, but I think the health addictions are far better ones to have than the alcohol bootleggers of years gone by. And these perps are continuing to run. And as you say, the mafia that ran all these industries and were the criminal syndicates are actually now the official governments.
Yep.
Or are owning the official governments, and those official governments are now proxies. They're very weak proxies. I mean, we have to pivot back to the World Health Organization and what they're getting through here, where essentially now they're getting agreements where essentially this is your health department, no matter what country you live in, no matter what province. Your localized government and your main government are literally relay stations from on high. How do people not see the inherent danger, given the absolute perversions and deceptions that have been made clear from the events of March 2020? What's your take on that? Is there any way we wrestle this back?
Yeah, we need again. I launched Occupy Peace a decade ago, and I'm totally opposed to this war machine that's going on. Again, I grew up during the Vietnam War. It was prime draft meat. And by the way, I was stupid enough to believe the crap. I even voted for Richard Nixon in 1968. The only reason I didn't want to go to Vietnam is I didn't want to get my brains blown out. And by the way, but again, I believe the crap because I believe the mainstream media. I was a kid. But the warmongers, like Biden, five draft deferments during the Vietnam War. He's 3.5 years older than me. And his last one was he had asthma. He bragged about what a great athlete he was in college. So going back to what could change it, we need peace on earth. We need a renaissance. We're talking about how, you know, what they got it wrong in the King James Bible. They say the meek shall inherit the earth. The geeks have inherited the earth. Look at the clown show it is. A Zuckerberg, a cook. A clown, one jerk, a peach eye, one little nothing of a boy, nothing. They've taken up. Once upon a time, there used to be a thing called jazz in America, from ragtime to swing to R&B to rock and roll to Motown, and now it's one bad synthesized rap, stupid crap, junk music. All the beauty of what America used to be is all gone. We need a renaissance. We're talking about the COVID war before when they launched it. What followed the Black Plague? The people got hip to the scene. 60% of Europe was wiped out. They were killing themselves with the sanitation and the filth. They went back to the past. Alla Romana, alla Antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients. They describe the quality of their work. We need a renaissance. We need art. Art is the way of finding the true meaning of the human spirit, I believe. And it's all gone. We need a renaissance, and we need to get rid of the crime syndicate that people call in the United States Republicans and Democrats. This crime syndicate's been running the damn show for what? Well over a hundred and couple of years, 150 years. I mean, what the hell are they kidding? And again, the rich own everything. You got that little boy of nothing, Beto O'Rourke down in Texas, ran for governor. $100 million to lose. Another piece of nothing, little garbage, Stacey Adams on Being Fair, men and women over in Georgia. Ran for governor, $100 million lost. Hey, how about putting $100 million in for a peace movement? Get the hell out of here. What the hell are you talking about? Get lost. No peace. So that's the way I only see it. We have to go to a higher spirit.
But it's very difficult to do with this anaconda snake reptilian that's actually running the show. I'll take you into a dark place. Watch some material on Ukraine, because I know that, like Israel, is very central to you. They're actually, since 2014, the Maidan.
It's a part of it. It's here. This is your magazine, the Trends Journal, back in 2014. Here's the headline. Washington is driving the world to the final war. This is by written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. Washington concluded that Russia needed to be confronted with or distracted by problems that would leave the Russian government less confident or able to counter Washington's aggression elsewhere. Ukraine presented the perfect opportunity for Washington to advance its hegemonic agenda. In a speech at the National Press Club last December, which was 2013, Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland boasted that Washington had invested $5 billion to non-governmental organizations in Ukraine for the purpose of the NGOs to, quote, to teach democracy. The United States overthrew the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych. It's the United States fighting Russia since the end of World War II. When I was a kid, had us hiding under a desk in case an atom bomb went off because the Russians were going to drop one. It's been going on nonstop. And again, when you talk about Ukraine, we have to put, again, not according to the EU, it's the most corrupt country in Europe. And a poll out of Ukraine about 2 months ago of the Ukrainian people, the number one concern was the war. 89% were concerned about corruption. It's a disgusting, crime-ridden, corrupt nation. And so what you're talking about is just part of the whole sickness of what it is. And it, as an American, this is none of my business. There's a guy by the name of George Washington, his farewell address: do not become involved in any foreign entanglements. Don't love a nation or hate a nation. If you do either one of them, you become a slave to them. This is a real man that fought, not like these little boys, like a little ballless Barack Obama, like, or a little arrogant Bill Clinton, or a little Georgie Bush. These guys couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag, but boy, they love war. So again, it's like, but it's going to be a false flag event that's going to get the United States involved in this war. Look what just happened a couple of weeks ago. Three people were killed. Three American soldiers were killed on the borders of Ukraine and Jordan. What the hell are we doing over there, number one? And the United States bombs the hell out of Syria and Iraq. Three dead. Oh, today, over 100 Palestinians were bombed to death by Israelis as they were trying to get food that was delivered as they're being starved. The hell with them. There's only 30,000 of them that they killed. A couple of, about 60, 80, 100,000 wounded. Seriously, who cares? But three Americans, oh my God, bombs away. You get it? There's going to be a false flag event. And what Israel is doing, by the way, I get hate mail. They call me an anti-Semite. One guy told, F you, Salenti, you're a piece of sh-. On and on and on. I respond back. I said, oh, you like the murder going on over there? And don't call me an anti-Semite. The people running Israel are Ashkenazi Jews from Eastern Europe. They are not Semites. Semites are from the Mesopotamia region. Palestinians are Semites. They're not Semites. So save your crap. And number two, don't tell me I hate.
And DNA proves that, by the way.
Yeah.
DNA proves everything you just said, which is something I find myself saying all the time. Khazars from the Caspian Sea were never part of Levant. You know, on your Japanese side in the Cold War, how we started the war with Russia, it's quite ironic. I posted a tweet out this morning, literally, and it goes about the Americans and the British. They blatantly, repeatedly ignored desperate Japanese attempts for signing an unconditional surrender. Because firstly, they wanted to drag out the war for as long as possible. I remember Julian Assange making this key point, by the way, in one of his famous clips, saying wars aren't meant to be won, they're meant to drag on for the extraction benefit they give those running the system. Then going back to this, demonstrate the world, they want an opportunity to demonstrate to the world the devastating effect of the atomic bomb. So here was a country wanting to surrender, saying it's okay, you've won. Whatever your rules, surrender, unconditional. And they said, no, we're carrying on with the fight. More men dying in the field because the big guy's saying no. And now we're going to play our big trump card. And the main reason behind that is, And this was U.S. Secretary of State Edward Stettinus Jr., the son of J.P. Morgan partner, in 1945. Our entire post-war program depends on terrifying the world with the atomic bomb. We are hoping for a tally of 1 million dead in Japan, but if they surrender, we wouldn't have anything. So they refused the surrender, and this was civilian citizenry. This was the equivalent of Dresden, just on a much, much grander scale.
Yep.
According to the historian Houston Mullis, President Truman didn't make the decision. He was a Masonic organizer in Missouri before becoming president. Bernard Baruch, puppet and Rothschild principal agent in the USA and presidential advisor for Woodrow Wilson, Kennedy, Mr. Oppenheimer, Robert Oppenheimer, the research director, a lifelong communist. It was very much the banker's bomb, and it was named the Manhattan Project after where he happened to live, which I think is not too far from your grown-up spot. So that's the history. They were thinking already about the Cold War before they were done and signing the peace treaties of the World War II. And you were made to climb under tables. And can I tell you, ironically, I had the same experience being schooled in South Africa, on the tip of the African province, you know, where the nearest nuclear power was probably Israel, as they were killing Kennedy to ensure that. So, I mean, we all got put through that drill of under the desk. It's unbelievable. What do we do? How do people invest? You've got limited time left. Give us your 5-bullet plan in conclusion, Gerald. What do people do to A, make some money? It sounds a bit puerile. To protect their money and to be safe from the blowback of all these geopolitical events that we see that are only a false flag away from being triggered?
All right, first of all, for people, I recommend that people get in the best shape they can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I see that with you, and we're both not kids anymore. We both stay in good shape.
Indeed.
And that's the number one thing, because when you're feeling healthy, you think clearer.
And you're more positive. It fights the psyop too.
Yep. And so that's the number. And by the way, the first book I worked on back in 1984, came out in 86, Natural Healing. And when nobody was talking about this back then. So that's the number one thing. And to be, and again, we don't give financial advice.
Yeah.
You prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen and you're prepared for it, you lose nothing. If the worst happens and you're not prepared, you could lose everything. So to me, again, not financial advice, gold number one, Bitcoin number two, and Bitcoin's a gamble, but we've been saying it. It's in your trends journal week after week, month after month, year after year. We gave the highs and the lows, where it's going. And we've been right on the numbers. And now as we're speaking, it's at $63,000 a coin. This is something that started, what, from zero about 13, 14 years ago?
Fractions of a cent, yeah.
And if there wasn't Bitcoin, by the way, gold prices would be way, way higher. And the reason there's a lot of Bitcoin buying is because, like in countries in Argentina, where you have inflation skyrocketing through the roof, and other countries, people are buying Bitcoin. They can't afford to buy gold. They buy a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and silver. That's what we see. And as for real estate, you know, it depends where you are, where it's going. We don't see a crisis in the home market, but prices will go down when the crash comes. And the crash is going to come when the banks go bust. That's when it makes it official. So those are the things we're looking at. And again, you go to the Trends Journal, it's over 100, about the average is over 170 pages a week, no ads. And we tell you what in the world's going on, what it means, what's next. We write, this is what they're reporting. Here's our trend analysis. Here's our trend forecast. So you know it's not propaganda. This is what we're saying, how we see what they're saying. And to give you the advice on what you might want to invest in. We don't tell you, just think for yourself. But there's no magazine like it. There's no magazine. I'm the only trend forecaster. They don't teach it at Harvard, Princeton, Yale. Nowhere. No magazine. Nobody. 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 And by the way, it's the grand total of $2.86 a week. The toilet paper record, the New York Times, $4 a day. The Wall Street Journal, $5 a day. So we're giving people everything we can because we're fighting to help humanity and life on earth be the best it can. So we're
And what is the website for registering for that, Gerald? Give it to us loud and clear. We'll put it up in the banner as well.
Trendsjournal.com.
Trendsjournal.com. Easy enough. Trendsjournal.com. That's amazing. Excellent. Gold, silver. What about the blowback and the geopolitics? I'm afraid I've been saying get out of the Northern Hemisphere, Gerald. I don't know how that sits with you.
It doesn't make a difference where you are. They asked, you were talking about the atomic bomb before. They asked a cat by the name of Albert Einstein, who knew a thing or two about the atomic bomb, what kind of weapons will be used to fight the Third World War? He said, I don't know, but they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the fight.
Sticks and stones for the next one, yeah. Great quote, yeah. In other words, yeah, it's a bit of a leveler.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I very much appreciate it. And thank you for all that you're doing. It's really great to meet you and hear what you're saying and doing what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Gerald Sliente, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll catch you again soon, hopefully. Good luck with the rest of this amazing quarter, which I'm sure will have a few surprises for us. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.